If you see something, say something. At Reply, weird things come with any weird story you find on the web, and you can help make weirdthings.com even weirder.
Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com. Hey, buddy. Justin here. My buddy, I mean everybody listening, because you're all my friends. You know who else is my friend? Tom Merritt. You might know him from Tech News Today, Sword and Laser, but he also does a podcast called FSL Tonight. With who? Me. That's who. It's a fictitious sports league comprised of all sorts of science fiction and fantasy characters. Now, that might seem a little confusing, but the good news is there's a video where we explain it. You can go on over to Kickstarter.com and just search FSL Tonight, and you'll come up to a page where we explain everything about the league. Oh, also it's on Kickstarter because we're having a Kickstarter. Our third season is going to be completely ad-free, and we got some really sweet perks if you are interested in this concept or already listen to the podcast. So head on over to Kickstarter, search for FSL Tonight, and back it if you want. If you don't, no sweat. Seriously, it's not a problem. Don't worry about it. It's very niche, you know. I mean, I'm not begging you for money here. Seriously, I am kind of, though. Please, give me money. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Weird Things podcast. My name is Justin Robert Young, filling in for Andrew Main, who's on assignment. But joining us this week, we do have a power trio. It is, of course, the usual player, Brian Brushwood.
Yeah, the George Harrison of the podcast.
That's the sound medical outlook.
That's the sound of Justin Robert Young's brain short circuiting. Like, should I put him in his place and say he's the Ringo, or do we just go off on some kind of weird spiritual bender?
No, I was actually saying I hope you don't die of brain cancer.
Sure.
That was actually my first thought.
Do you know that he died the night I was on the Tonight Show, and after I did the Tonight Show. My friend writes me an email, says, how come every time you're on the Tonight Show, a beetle dies?
Did that happen before?
No, it was just the one time, which is what made it hilarious in that morbid way.
There we go. Well, I'll tell you what, joining us, and you might have heard her lovely voice chiming in the middle of that story, it is the one, the only, making a triumphant return to this very podcast, Bonnie Brushwood, the Invisible Wife. Welcome, Bon.
Well, thank you. Hello, everybody.
Yeah, I say it's not fair because she's got an assist. She's got like a baby in her arms. So if there's ever anything like for pure laughs, like you'll just hear this big old toot being ripped, and Bonnie will insist it's the baby. But let me just say, there's no baby here. Bonnie's the only one here.
I'd like to imagine that she could squeeze it like a comedy bagpipe.
squeeze the baby.
Yeah, and just make it fart like a bag, like a real prop.
Pretty much, you can kind of do that. Yeah.
maybe you do it like an Inception sound effect when a particularly big mind bender of an idea comes up.
I would like to imagine that she would be able to play Amazing Grace, like a bagpipe would also, but it would be in baby farts.
Amazing,
I believe
Grace.
It.
As you can see, this podcast is going to be nowhere near the intellectual heights that Andrew normally soars us to.
It's fine.
However,
we're fine.
I'm very, very glad that you guys are here. And as not only a couple with now three kids, because in this first scenario, you're moving to Maryland.
Oh, dude, look, you've had me do way more horrific stuff than move to Maryland. Bonnie, you want to go to Maryland?
Well, who are we going to get to babysit?
No, we'll take the kids. We're moving the family covered wagon style. We're going to go hop in the station wagon and off we go to Maryland.
No, in fact, you're going in a covered wagon and all the neighbors think it's really weird, but you want to teach the kids a lesson about history.
Actually, that does sound like something we would do, like plan 3 weeks to get there and just on the side of the highway, hear all these vindictive from people driving on the highway, like, get your covered wagon off the damn highway, throwing beer cans at us.
Do you know it probably wouldn't take that long?
What, 3 weeks?
No, no. In fact, I was just reading in Mental Floss that it takes about 23 days to walk from New York to California.
Well, yeah. All right. That's about, well, I mean, I assume we'd have like a pony pulling.
All right. Hold on. Yeah. All right, whatever. Fine.
No, hold on. Hold on. We're almost, I got to make some arrangements so we can make this happen. This is okay. Actually a thing, right?
Do we get a separate?
3 days or a million years to walk wherever. It's okay. Fine. Got it. Right. Got it. You're in Maryland. And you are looking for schools. There's one school that will take both of your elder daughters, not, of course, the infant one. However, they have a few rules. I'm going to play the admissions expert, and you guys are playing yourselves as the inquisitive parents looking to get into the school.
But this is a school we want to be in, right?
You want to be in this school.
Yeah.
All right. St. Mary's County Public Elementary School.
Dude, I'm sure it sounds great. It's a good school. We got good kids. Let's go on in. Hello. We'd like to enroll our daughters. Not this one. She's a baby. Stop looking at us that way.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I was going to say no straight away. Too young.
Oh, yes. But I mean, well, she's only 10 weeks old, 11 weeks.
Well, that's ridiculous. Why would you want to enroll her in this school?
No, I'm saying I don't. Wait, I'm sorry. We got off to a bad start. Hi, I'm Brian. These are our daughters, ages 9 and 5, who we'd like to enroll.
Excellent. Well, I just want to let you know that we have a few rules here.
Okay. Well, I would assume, sure. Yeah, it's a structure, right?
Right.
However, as an aptitude test, we're going to make you guess them.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Sure. No, we're great at guessing games. I do this podcast. It's called the Weird Things Podcast. You should listen to it sometime. We play this game a lot. I got you. All right. No smoking in the boys' room. That's a rule, right?
Well, okay. Yeah. No.
Wait. Nope.
So you just go ahead and ask me things, and I'll let you know yes or no. But there's three new rules that have gotten a little bit of publicity.
Okay, but you're not allowed to do that, right? Please say that they're not.
Oh, no. Sweet Lord, no.
Okay.
No. All smoking must be done outside of school grounds.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
By the children.
So I just think we've learned from experience in our old school that making any toot references is considered sexual harassment and therefore in school.
Can you make toot? Can you make songs about toots in your pants?
Right.
Toots in your pants. You know, really, it really depends on the quality of the song. Like, I mean, if it's total crap, then we're going to discourage that.
Well,
but if it's got a good beat to it, you know, I think we're fine.
All right. So it's subjective. That makes sense. It's, okay. It's quality based. What about sexual misconduct, like inappropriate touching? Like, is there fighting allowed or like girls and boys have to be separated? Is there anything weird with that?
What kind of public schools you guys had in Texas that this is the line for which you think that we're really getting a lot of flack on it, but no, that is also straight out banned. Let me just go ahead and walk you guys through this.
Sure.
Okay. We have some specific guidelines on, let's say, children's birthdays. How would, let's say, one of your girls is having a birthday during the school year, how would you handle that with the classmates?
Well, I mean,
we just did that.
Yeah, we'd send cupcakes and stuff so we could celebrate our kid's birth.
Right.
Right?
Mm.
That's normal? That's not... Mm-mm. Wait, yeah. What's going
on? Let's say you guys were having an off-school party. How would you let her classmates know that there was going to be a party?
Oh, invites, right? We sit around and make invites. She goes and she hands them to her friends, and then we invite.
But it is etiquette that everybody gets.
What, is there a problem? We can't invite. We can't invite. Maybe that's a Texas thing. We invite. Yeah. We invite everyone.
Well, we
invite
a lot of people. Might get an e-bite. An e-bite electronic. Versions?
Wait, no, we don't use that horrible Evite service if that's what this is about.
No. You wait, know, we take on. The class roster because we have every kid's name, yeah. Their parents, they all phone get, numbers and addresses.
They
and,
all get no? invites because lots all the kids are invited.
See, here's the thing. Here in Maryland, we are a little bit more sensitive to the feelings of our students.
Okay.
So no birthday invitations are allowed in case any student at the school who doesn't receive one feels bad about him or herself because they didn't get an invitation to the
party.
Okay,
but I can invite everyone, like everyone in the class, right? Then that's everyone, right?
Really? Jesus. Oh, my God.
I mean, here's the thing. Again, I don't know how you rough and tumble youngins down in old Texas handle these things. But we have a large school that goes beyond just your child's class, and they might feel a little bit bad.
So wait, so you're saying, like, the problem is if I don't invite everyone in my daughter's third grade, or if I invite everyone in my daughter's third grade class, that maybe a fourth grader would feel left out.
We wouldn't want them to feel bad that they weren't good enough friends with your daughter to be invited to her birthday party.
What if I invited the entire school? Would that work?
We're going to have to send that one up the line.
Wow. Okay. Now, look, maybe we can work around this. Yeah. Maybe we just won't have a birthday party. You said there's three rules that have sort of gotten people up in a tizzy. Is that right?
Yeah. See, here's the problem. Let's say, for example, you and your daughter was part of a gymnastics team or a debate team or something.
Yeah.
And they had just won a big game. How would you handle, and they were all standing in a group celebrating, how would you handle congratulating both your daughter and her teammates?
Dude, high fives. High five. I hold my hand up. I was like, high five, team, high five. Ba-doop, 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 ba-doop.
No?
Wait, you know you've not banned the high five, Maryland.
What?
You have not banned a high five.
What?
Look me in the eye. Look me in the eye, Maryland. Maryland, don't you do this. You match my gaze. Did you ban the high five?
You know, here's the thing.
Brian, why would you bring me here?
I heard that we would have jobs picking grapes. It sounded great when I read the flyer. Keep going.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know if maybe down in Texas, since everybody's rustling cows and broncos and various other livestock, maybe everybody's wearing leather gloves.
Oh, wait. Are you worried about diseases from high-fiving?
According to our new rules, not only should parents visiting the cafeteria or school grounds not ever hug any child that's not their own, they aren't allowed to touch them.
Oh, and high fives included.
High fives would be touching children who aren't your own.
Okay,
we're going to go ahead and throw a big no-no on that.
Okay, you realize though that there are studies that say that if you don't touch children, like they like waste away and they die and they shrivel up and it's bad for them. Like kids. Yeah. Food, water, shelter, clothing, and love. Like, the love thing means, like, physical contact. It means you gotta...
All right.
What if, like, a kid mobs you?
One more thing.
Because I, like, get hugged all the time. Like, I'm like, no, and they're hugging me. And then I'm like, awkward.
With the kids?
Yeah, with the kids. They love the art teacher. Art teacher always gets unsolicited.
Does that happen? They come up and they hug you?
Yeah, they totally. Like, you know, I remember you
you're at a prison.
Two seasons ago.
No touching.
No touching.
All right, one more. Let's say... that we'll go back to the birthday scenario. You wanted to maybe bring a cake for one of your children. How would you go about that?
Well, we'd bake a cake. We'd probably find out if there was any allergy, you know, because our kids have food allergies. So we'd make sure it was allergy.
Hold on. You do what?
Well, we would make sure it was allergy for, you know, like eggs. We'd find out if the kids...
Before that.
We'd bake a cake. Wait, you can't bake a cake at this school? How am I supposed... What is the problem with cake baking?
Even the word making me nervous.
What, baking a cake? Really?
They don't want your diseases all up in that cake.
Oh, yeah. So what is the problem? What is it that you're afraid I will be in the cake? The baked cake.
I mean,
the cake that I will bake.
I don't know
how you guys handle it in your little home on the prairie-esque existence where wow. everything is homemade and you're sewing your own clothes.
Austin is kind of a big city. We have stores.
Well, here in the big city of Maryland, we don't allow any food to be brought from home.
Wait, any food at all brought from home?
No, food for celebrations need to be store-bought. There are no homemade cakes here wow. in the St. Mary's County Public Elementary
School. Okay, now you're getting me mad because, like Penny has food allergies, and we have to make stuff special for her because otherwise she can't eat it. Are you kidding me? Has to be store-bought?
Yeah. You know what? I kind of see the logic because have you ever seen kids bake? It's like a little scary.
Well, you're not going to have the kids bake. It'd be the adults bake.
But they're digging their fingers. Okay,
would you go and you've been all Marylandy on me? I don't even know you anymore.
Hey, we've been in, wind and Rome.
You've gone all native.
I've gone native.
Hold on. No, real quick. Whoa. On pause. Like, seriously, you're okay with this?
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the problem is, Brian, on pause. The problem is, Mr. and Mrs. Brushwood, that we can't just have you and your willy-nilly high-fiving to be trusted baking a cake that's going to be served to children.
I don't even know what constitutes a store, because we have to special order our ingredients online to get made for the allergen-free.
Yeah. See, we need to be able to trust somebody to bring an ingredient list that would make sure that all children's food allergies were accounted right. for.
But, you know, that takes us back to rule number one, no cupcakes to begin with. So why are we even talking about cupcakes?
Yeah, I thought we could. Oh, no, wait. That was the invitation, party invitations.
Oh, party invitations.
No inviting anyone to anything because people would feel bad. Okay, so what is the backlash these guys have gotten on this?
Like, when has this started? Like, is this
Also, I'm ending this skit by saying that your application to this public school is denied.
Oh!
Which is illegal.
Screw you. We're going back to Texas.
Goodbye.
Civilized wagon back south.
Civilized society. We're out of here.
You and your snow.
Screw you, Maryland.
And your season.
That's straight from me and the invisible wife.
So this is indeed from St. Mary's County Public Elementary Schools. They are currently banning a birthday invitation should not be handed out at school because students who are not invited could have their feelings hurt. She said school PTAs could develop phone and email contact lists, and with parents' approval, they could distribute them so you could invite everybody privately. But on school grounds, no formal invitation should be handed out. Foods for celebration should be limited to store-bought items that contain ingredient lists as to not interfere with children's food allergies. And parents visiting the cafeteria should not hug or touch children other than their own, nor should they discipline other children. Parents should also not walk with their child when he or she leaves the cafeteria.
Man, okay, so this is weird because it's like, I agree with the meaning behind all of those.
Yeah.
But those are some ugly ass implementations of it, man.
Well, let me ask you guys, I mean, like, so you are in the thick of elementary school rule making.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where is your line personally on the ever increasing rules of elementary school?
Oh my gosh. Let me tell
Bonnie
you.
Bonnie knows more than me. Go ahead, spill it, girl.
Well, I mean, we have a really funny kid, and funny is not allowed in elementary school.
That's legit. And like, funny is synonymous with you're breaking some kind of rule.
I know,
if you get a laugh, then that means you're in trouble.
It is painful. It's like nothing is, I mean, nothing's allowed. And you always have to, they do this thing where they write home on every infraction. I mean, when I was a kid, we just got a grade, you know, and like I had to get an A in conduct, but I usually made a
B. It was like an E for excellent, S for satisfactory, N
yeah,
for needs improvement.
Yeah, exactly.
Or U for unacceptable.
You know,
yeah.
And then, but I hear about every little nuance to the day, and it's just.
Do you like that? Like, is that progress? Because you get daily checkups.
No, because it stresses you out and it creates this really awkward moment when you pick your kid up. You can't be like, hey, kid, I'm happy to see you and I love you. It's more like, what color did you get? Do I, you know, are we going to have to like drag you behind the car all the way
home?
I'll
tell you what, and actually, this is no joke. Like, everything got better for our house once Bonnie decided, eh, yellow's fine.
Yeah, there was this other mom. Yeah, there was this other mom. You know what? It was after Brett was here, and Brett was like, yellow's fine. I turned out okay.
Yeah, because Brett Rounceville, the Amtraker, was one of those mischief-making kids. And he wasn't, like, bad or malicious. It's just he couldn't resist going for the laugh. So he told us all these stories of getting in, like, pretty big trouble going to principal's offices. And, of course, he's, you know, one of the best people on planet Earth.
Yeah, so.
Sure. Now, here's what I would pitch. And you guys tell me whether or not you'd be into it.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Independent auditor that you would send along with your funny child that would also give you daily reports on how funny the jokes were.
Okay, are you applying for the job? Is that what's going on, Justin? You want a side gig?
Well, listen, I'm just saying that maybe if it's not me, I could farm it out. I could hire somebody and train them.
Sure.
In terms of bringing them up. But like, so you just talk to the school and you're like, listen, I'm going to be sending a comedy coach along with Penny. She's going to be giving daily updates. And so that way you can be like, well, I mean, if you were going to get a yellow, was it for a green joke?
Yes.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that makes it fine. But if it goes like, if it's, you know, simplistic or if she's dipping at the well too many times doing the same bit, then she gets penalized. Like, sorry.
But do you know, that's really what church is for. Though that's where we get our
is to bust out like test out material. That's your farm league for material where it doesn't really count.
Who's your pastor, Gallagher?
Oh my gosh, we have these like really fantastic and very patient, charming pastors who play along. Children's time has become Penelope.
The comedy, the Penny comedy, 5 minutes. Absolutely.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Keep a pin in the religious talk because we're going to get back to that in a hot second. But before we do, I want to let everybody know about our sponsor for this year's podcast. It's Area 1851. Go ahead and make sure you know who these guys are, because they're going to be on this podcast for the next couple weeks, and there is goddamn good reason why. They are a Kickstarter that needs 25K. So every time that we're on here talking about it, I'm going to give you guys an update on where they are. They just launched last Friday, so they're only a couple days into it. And they already have $1,000 in the bank, 32 days. So they need, you know, just a little less than what they were, you know, what they did over the weekend. For the next couple days, they're going to make sure this thing happens. So go ahead on over there and throw them a few ducats. Here's what the game is if you weren't listening last week. And you can watch their big video, which will let you know all the details. But here it is in a nutshell. It's 1800s. And the aliens have landed in the Wild West, interrupting settlers on their way to Oregon. The aliens want genuine human artifacts and will willingly trade dangerous technology for common household goods. A curious tribe of Native Americans have camped near the town and joined in the trading as aliens and humans begin tinkering with each other's gadgets, creating amusing contraptions and spectacular failures. This is a tabletop game. You're going to roll dice. You're going to tinker with your gadget cards. And I'll tell you what, head on over there, area1851.com. You're going to go right to the Kickstarter. And this thing looks fantastic. It's in an awesome box. It looks super sweet. Let me just tell you this from boardgamegeek.com. This is a commenter. I really like this game and I'm looking forward to its release. I have often contemplated trying to get a hold of a prototype simply because I can't wait to play more of the game. And that was somebody who actually played around with it. So do me a favor, head on over, area1851.com, and, you know, if you dig on tabletop stuff, make sure one of these things, you know, comes to fruition, and they're going to be here on Weird Things. So support people who want to make a big investment in Weird Things and want to make your tabletop experience that much better, area1851.com. All right. Now, we mentioned religion.
Yes, I've heard of that. Mm-hmm.
I had a chance to sit down with your friend of mine, Brian, Padre Father Robert Ballister, on my podcast, the Jury Talks podcast.
Wait, did he actually show up?
He brought up something.
Did you actually have him like there with you in person, or did you just do it over Skype?
No, he was still in D.C., so we did it over Skype. But it was all Pope. We went wall to wall Pope and just talked nothing about or everything about the office itself. It was really, really a fun discussion. I've gotten great feedback on it. So go check that out.
But
he brought up something.
Okay. And real quick, for those who don't know, Padre S.J., Father Robert Balsar, maybe the hippest Jesuit priest who's ever jumped into the world of podcasting. He is one of the most interesting.
Which I don't know. I don't know how big that field is.
No,
Jesuit priests who have jumped into podcasting.
Between the two of them, he is the hipper of the two, is what I'm trying to say.
and you know, listen, if you're not familiar with him, he's completely changed. I mentioned this on last week's Weird Things, but he completely changed my view on the Catholic Church. He is somebody that I very, very, very much recommend listening to more of. And if you've never heard of him, then go ahead and check out that Jury Talks podcast, because I think it was a great primer on his personality as well as his representation of the Catholic Church. But I asked him for the three wildest things that have ever happened inside the papal office.
Oh, my God. Is this a guessing game? Do we get to guess what they were?
I will tell you that there is one story, and I will make the note that it is still in murky waters in terms of whether or not it actually happened.
Right.
Like many things.
Let's didn't happen. Let's, for discussion's sake, that this is total hypothetical.
So I'm going to go ahead and we're doing big guessing game. What's the wildest thing you think a pope could do?
The wildest thing like a pope might hypothetically
Pope's gone
do.
Wild is what we're looking for. What would this pope? You wouldn't believe what these popes did when we offered them a chance to get in front of the camera.
I'm saying he got a tattoo of a naked lady on his
body. There's no way he got a tattoo. That's like a direct vibe. I figure it's got to be something that's not like expressly prohibited. Like
are tattoos?
Yeah, they say that's the mark.
I thought that was a Jewish thing.
No, well, I mean, it's Old Testament, which is still in the Bible.
Yeah.
That's what's hilarious about people getting tattoos of particular Bible verses. Our friend CJ Johnson wants to get a tattoo of the verse that prohibits tattoos. And he wants to make it an ambigram in the word irony.
That's awesome. See, that's why I don't have a tattoo. Just in case when I die, people think I'm Jewish and I can get buried in a Jewish cemetery.
Always look it up.
I just keep my options open.
So let's see. I'm going to say it's got to be something like streaking in the quad. Something that would be outrageous, but there'd be nothing. Okay, I could tell from the
You do know
squint.
How crazy the office of the Pope has gotten, right? Like, we're talking about orgies, murders,
what, really?
Intrigue, poison. Oh, my God.
This happened? Tell me what I should know about the office of the Pope, and then I'll tell you what I think the wildest story was.
I mean, here's generally, here's the primer, and this is something that the family of the Borgias, which is now a Showtime series, was a politically connected family from Spain that basically, you gotta understand, for a certain amount of time, the office of the Pope was
the president,
the political office to hold.
Right.
You know, it was
right.
Transborders. You went above kings and emperors. You were basically able to control the people in a way that really no local or state government could.
If I may quote the eminent sage, Prince, you could be the president. I'd rather be the Pope.
Sure. Exactly. Because of that, you had a lot of people that took the office that maybe were not Pope material, that maybe bought their way into the office. And so you had a string of popes that were all from the same families that then would have kids that would become Pope. Like,
oh my goodness.
Just some really, really out there stuff, including murder, betrayal, intrigue, marriage, secret marriage, having sex out of wedlock, having lots of sex. So that is, consider that your base primer level.
This is what is,
and we're going one above.
Okay, and we're talking about like in recent times or of all time, these stories.
All time, all time.
Dude, like a murder right there. Like stands up and fights someone and kills them. Would a pope do that?
Well, I don't know if they're going to fight them like Kirk and Spock, you know,
like I'm picturing somebody dressed as a velociraptor and then somebody else just walking out with like a, I don't know, a papal spear, just poking them or something.
I don't think a pope's going to declare that he is on a pawn far and he therefore needs to fight the nearest cardinal.
All right, so that one's out.
But I will say that his third craziest thing that's ever happened inside the Vatican was that a selection of a pope took 3 years and the vacated pope seat happened likely because he was poisoned.
Oh, wow. All right, so that's heavy duty. You tell me there's never been like a physical fight, like a battle royale?
Sure there was, Brian.
That isn't even
on the same planet.
Like the Naked Gun, or it was one of those.
The Naked Gun. What is
it?
Where are you going?
Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah. Leslie Nielman. I'm Leslie Nielman. Yes.
No, I don't know. Didn't he fight the Pope in one of those?
Probably. Listen, there's a lot of things that have happened. I'm not entirely sure this is where Justin intended the bit
you
to go.
You do know that those aren't documentaries.
I am from Texas, so.
I mean, I'm assuming some kind of like crazy orgy stuff, but that doesn't seem like I want to go with slaughtering animals or like a running of the bulls or some kind of like I keep coming back to combat, but it's clear that it doesn't have anything to do with that. Maybe a bizarre play or maybe
he married a sheep.
No.
Bestiality. I'll tell you what. Bestiality, not there. However, okay. At least we're thinking outside the box.
That's right. I'm stuck in the box.
Are we talking about boxes now?
That's right. Yes. Oh, okay. Boxing matches. What else you got, man? You're the one you're the first person to bust out of the box. What about blah blah blah.
He flew a kite?
No, that's Ben Franklin. You got confused.
Let's see.
Man, this is my weakness on weird things. I can't think outside. I get stuck in a rut and I just want to believe.
But we're not
one
really
story.
Worried about like drugs because
wait, did they do drugs? Was the Pope ever like high as a kite?
Was he
boring?
See, of course, back in the box. It's back in the box.
Box. Yeah.
So, did that land on the baby?
Jeez, no.
That was the sound of a very angry sheep pope coming in and knocking the. He walked in and went, knocked the mic right out of Bonnie's hands.
Gosh. Do you think that's a warning to me?
Maybe.
Thinking outside the box?
Yes. Apparently you didn't think outside the box far enough, which is great because now Bonnie is holding the Heil Mic Boom as if it is a staff. She's
right.
Sitting here holding it with the mic on top as if she's come down to... All right. So now that you've had your vision from God... All right. Close your eyes, Bon.
Yes.
Seriously. It's the Pope. Anything goes. Pope's gone wild. Craziest thing you can imagine Pope's ever done. Say it.
Well, it's a combination. It's him listening to Nine Inch Nails and cutting himself.
Which I'm betting happened.
Come on. Yeah, final guesses.
All right.
Not out of the box enough.
I want to say a duel, even though that's in the box. I got nothing else. It's got to be a duel to the death.
No.
A Pope duel.
Can you at least come up with like some interesting weapons that they would use?
Yeah.
Since that's really boring.
He's got that smoke thing whipping around his head. He's whipping smoke.
The incense.
And then the
incense. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he's like flinging holy water in his eyes and be like, ah! I mean, the obvious stuff is like some kind of torture orgy, but I don't know what the specifics would be.
Oh, what about some kind of like devil worshipping?
It's been a while since I've been to a good torgy.
Good torture orgy?
Yeah.
What if he just went the other way around and was like actually a devil worshiper?
Oh, what?
What?
No, that would be. There was no devil worshiping popes, were there?
Not that we know.
Okay.
No devil worshiping really popes, or at least to my very rudimentary knowledge. All right, you guys ready?
Yes, yeah, lay it ready. On us. Sorry I failed you with my banal suggestions.
There was once a pope who, according to popular legend, was riding on horseback when they gave birth because they were a lady.
Wait, there's a lady pope?
There was a lady
Pope Joan, who allegedly reigned for a few years during the Middle Ages, The story first appeared in 13th century chronicles and subsequently has spread and embellished throughout Europe. Now, there is strong evidence to say that this might not actually be true, but it is a popular myth.
I'll tell you what, man, regardless, I'm guilty. You said I was, you proclaimed I was guilty of the crime of not thinking outside of the box. Never in a million years, Justin, would I have said, given birth?
Yeah, no.
Yes. You should have thought more about the box itself.
This is true. And what might be coming out of the box.
I shouldn't have thought outside of the box. I should have thought deeper inside the box. Like way.
You should have just acknowledged the possibility of a box.
Yes. Right. That's a good point.
I feel so chauvinistic now. How like really disturbing. I didn't think ladies could.
I wish you guys could see Bonnie issuing.
Well, she certainly was not.
Proclamation.
She certainly was not out there as a woman. In fact, she was disguised as a man, made her way through the church hierarchy, eventually became elected pope. Because I'll tell you what, if you're going to be concealing your gender, you know, you are going to be pretty good about sneaking around and then the politics of stuff, eventually gets elected pope, winds up giving birth, and according to legend, is killed.
For being like, what? Like finally the jig was up and they're all like, wait, this is no man.
Yeah. Or the popular myth says that she either died from natural causes or was murdered in an angry mob.
Oh.
Okay. That's one. That's one that was off the charts. Never would have guessed. What were the other two?
So the line of the Borgias was the second one, and then the third one was the 3-year papal election, which eventually led to the current rules of basically it was trying to break up the politics of papal elections. So nobody could have literal backroom deals. If you were talking to another cardinal, you had to talk to them in front of the other cardinals. So you couldn't be like, hey, buddy, I'm going to go ahead and vote for my buddy Joe. So right. You vote for him and then I'll pay you. And then you say later. That, oh, I almost did it. And then, so that was straight out. No more of that.
Wow. Man, I'll tell you what. It's like when you have that much power, I just don't see how you can't have nasty-ass corruption. I mean, that's intense.
So there we go. The legend of Pope Joan. The wildest. Pope's gone wild.
Pope's gone. You gave us a clue, too. Pope's gone wild.
That it would be a chick?
Yeah.
I can't believe it wasn't even wild enough with my pawn far against the
Velociraptor. I know. It was like an ultimate challenge. It's like throw down. Anything goes.
Here's our final story for this week. Now, Brian and Bonnie, you guys are, you're now in the suburbs raising three beautiful girls. But back in the day, you guys were very punk rock. You had crazy colored hair. Yeah. You were, very much in the art scene in Austin, you know.
Yeah.
Let's transport you guys. Mm-hmm. We're going to go ahead and keep you in Austin. Let's say instead of the arts, you guys got into a different profession.
The crafts. We used to be in the arts. Now we're in the crafts. Yes. Macaroni art.
But not crafts as in the things that you make, but rather just a fan of the cheese brand.
Yeah, K-R-A-F-T-S.
Let's say you two are superheroes.
I love it.
All right. Should we pick our powers right now?
No, you don't have powers. You're real life superheroes. So you are people who dress up in costume and patrol through the night. Brian, you are 20, and Bonnie, you are 18.
All right.
Wow.
We can do this. I like it already.
I'm younger than you.
So a dude and a chick.
Is Brian taller than me, too?
Yes, as long as we're fantasizing, baby.
No, oddly enough, Brian is even shorter in this scenario than he is in real life.
Damn it, why did you ask, woman? All right. I'm going to be the leaf blower. And I've got like a ghillie suit that I'm wearing. And then like right as I attack, I sort of shake and rattle like, whoosh, I'm like a cold wind blows.
He sure does blow, ladies and gentlemen, says the ironically titled Alt Weekly.
What about you, Bonnie?
And Bonnie?
Oh, I saw on Pinterest today that somebody said, why must women, you know, the signs on women's bathroom, why do they always have to stereotype us as wearing superhero capes?
instead of like a dress. The skirt.
Yeah.
So
it's
like your That's job funny. Is to wear a skirt around your neck I guess. And to be like the anti-stereotype. Yeah. And then, but you've got like your panties and your garters full on exposed. You run around with a dress around it and the leaf blower.
How did we ever get along?
Pinterest woman and the leaf blower.
Okay.
So Bonnie, what would be your name? What would be your superhero name?
Keep in mind, your only power is that you're wearing a dress around your neck.
Really?
Yep.
Is it just, it'd be shock and awe? I don't know.
Well, I mean, you could always go with a pair name, you know, so your husband has so definitely named himself the leaf blower.
Right.
Oh, so I could be the
leaf linguist.
The rake.
The rake
and the leaf blower.
Okay.
You don't like the rakist? Like,
I'm the hoe.
Leaf blower and the hoe. Which is great.
Leaf blower and hoe.
Leaf blower and hoe. And which is great because you're running around with no pants on.
Right.
Perfect.
Exactly.
All right. Leaf blower and the hoe. Ready
Although
for
I think
you.
It might lead to some real good natured confusion on the streets late at night when everyone's yelling for hoe.
Leaf blower and the hoe at your service. What can we do for you?
All right, so things go really, really well for you guys. You're a neighborhood favorite. Everybody's cheering and yelling when they see you guys patrol. You get custom costumes.
Have we actually caught anyone? When you say things are going well, like, have we actually caught anyone?
You know, you've stopped maybe some lingering ne'er-do-wells who you tell to go beat it or you're going to call the cops.
Yes. You don't want to mess with the leaf blower. And then, or his
Wait,
hoe.
No, no. I'm like, look at me. And then Brian blows him with the leaf blower. And you know how much it stings when all those little gravel bits fly up and get you in the eye?
I didn't even think that I should be armed with an actual leaf blower. I just want to be covered in leaves. This is even better if I have a tool.
No, that's an effective weapon.
Sure.
And so, the noise is so great. It crumbles
really
into
annoying.
The ground.
Sure.
Yeah, it's really... Well, that's kind of like you.
So one summer night, you guys are patrolling Austin.
Sure.
When next thing you know, a guy comes out and beats the living hell out of Brian.
Out of Brian?
Yes. Right. You remain unharmed.
I go, yay! Oh.
Like at first you're happy. All right. So.
That's horrible.
What do you do? You're just standing there with your dress around your neck.
Yeah. I mean,
watching your husband
get beat
to
hell. I don't have any, like, superpower.
Hell.
I'm probably yelling.
What are you yelling?
Expletives.
Yeah. All right. Like calling him names, making him more angry as he kicks my head in.
Yeah.
And now, by the way, the people who are beating the living snot out of you, Brian, are saying, take that leaf blower. Like, they know who you are.
Oh.
And they're beating you up because you are the leaf blower.
Gosh, that's terrible.
Well, so what are you going to do, girl? You're the hoe. You got to... Okay.
Well, I have no superpowers.
Yes.
So I just have to rely on what I would do as a normal person.
I'm sure you have a hoe because you're the hoe.
Oh, I get to carry a hoe.
Well, of course.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, that would
unless,
so be
unless there's a different power that you are alluding to.
Okay. Well, you don't know this about the hoe, but in the mornings, she goes to strike class. So,
all right.
Yeah. So she... She does.
Well, she'd hope so if she's running around in her underwear all day. I mean, you've got
to
get
an open invitation. Are you kidding me?
Right. So, anyways, so I bust out with some.
So you run up and start hitting them.
No one wants to see a fat hoe.
That's why she has to do Pilates every day.
That's right. So I take what I learned in strike class and apply it to their head.
I love
and genitals.
The fact, Bonnie, you've got a garden implement. Oh, just hit them. Hit them in the head with
That's
it.
That's what I would do. Strike class is all about. It's basically a hoe without the hoe.
You're like you're all worried about your classes. Just hit them in the head. You don't have to just.
Yeah, stop. But it's effective. Right. That's what I envision. You know what I envision when I'm doing strike classes?
Yeah.
that I'm beating up Twinkie Man.
Beating up Twinkie Man. You have a deep-seated hatred of Twinkie Man. Is that the arch nemesis of the hoe?
Well, yeah, because he makes you a fat hoe.
Okay, all right.
Fat hoe.
So, all right. Well, so she
listen,
tries
it doesn't matter. A hoe is neutralized very quickly. Brian continues to get pummeled as leaf blower.
What? No, I'm not. I'm very powerful.
Yes, you are.
No, yeah, you're totally
quiet, hoe.
What happens? Do I get any
they
teeth
grab you
out,
and they're holding your over your mouth and they're beating the crap out of me. So at what point do they stop beating me?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, they beat you once your face is sufficiently swollen. And now you have the very difficult decision. Do you continue patrolling, or now that you know there is at least one gang of hoodlums that will look to beat you up whenever you patrol Austin, do you indeed hang up? Have you blown your last blow, Brian?
No way, man. Listen, leaf blower code says once you get beat up, like the just as the seasons change and leaves fall to the ground, so too do they decay and provide nutrients for the next generation of plants that grow out of it. And I swear as the leaf blower that I'm also going to carry a knife on me from now on. Leaf blower is not my best weapon. I'm also going to take a weapon.
That's also illegal, and now you've become a vigilante. But I will tell you this, Brian.
Oh, man.
You, in this hypothetical, are braver than real-life superhero Roger Hayhurst and his 18-year-old fiancé, Rebecca Wall, who were around Manchester, England, as Night Warrior and Night Maiden until Roger got beat the hell up by a bunch of hoodlums and had his face extraordinarily swollen, and he has now given up his job as Night Warrior.
Ugh, man.
Well, I feel like that's just something for you to overcome. I mean, that's the story of all.
You feel like that's your origin story. You got to get through
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
I mean, I can't imagine.
Quote Roger, my face was all swollen. I still dress up occasionally patrol, but mainly for charity appearances. Meanwhile, Wall has also hung up her cape.
You tell me, Justin. I mean, you're probably of the camp that says, why'd y'all ever decide to pretend to be superheroes anyway? But like, I guess maybe some certain things sound romantic when you're 18 and 20 years old that maybe aren't so romantic when you get your ass handed to you by thugs.
Well, I mean, I think this is one of those, like what is it about, like the Marines, like many are called, few are chosen, you know? This is like, if you are going to be patrolling around fighting crime, then you need to be prepared to actually fight crime, you know? Like, you have to either be a certain level of stupid to get beat up that often, or have a, you know, a plan, either be stronger than some of the people or strategically run away or have a relationship with the cops where you're basically just a night watchman where you're just calling the cops to let them know that there's shady activity going on.
Did they really not have any weapons or any way to defend themselves, or they just couldn't make it work in time? It was some kludgy thing.
There is no no note on exactly what kind of weaponry was in their inventory pummeling occurred.
Yeah, we do know this is in Manchester, which means it's very likely they were not armed with guns of any variety.
Yes, highly likely they were not, because that would make them the most illegal part of the story of them getting their ass kicked.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Totally.
Man, what a bummer. Why now? Are you happier or sadder that we live in a world where it's not practical to be a superhero? Like, is the world a more boring place for it? Or you're just like, well, that's good because it means we're leaving this to the professionals.
Well, you know, I mean, there are real life superheroes around, you know, like they do exist. Of course.
When you say superheroes, do you mean people that dress up and patrol?
Yeah. No, yeah, like real vigilantes. When Justin was working on G4 Underground, they profiled a guy who went around, what was it, Seattle or something? Walking around and Phoenix Jones went around dressed as a superhero and just like kicked all kinds of ass.
He really did.
Yeah.
And this dude was he actually wound up becoming unmasked because of a lawsuit. But that is a dude that you do not want to F with. Like, he was like an MMA fighter.
Unmasked.
He was unmasked because of a lawsuit.
Oh, like,
but you did not want to mess with him.
Was?
Yeah. MMA fighter.
Oh.
All around ass kick.
But yeah, No, he is, and now he does continue to patrol unmasked. Amazing flat top. I am looking at pictures now, but his flat top is epic.
All right, hold on. Is it like cartoonishly big? Phoenix Jones, you said?
Yeah, Phoenix Jones. If you just look at the first image, actually, I just typed in Seattle superhero, but.
Oh, yes. Wait, this is him in the ring I'm looking at right now. There's this blonde, epic, crazy. Is that the one?
No, I don't. I believe that is him, but that was before he became Phoenix Jones, but that is that epic flat top died.
Here, this is what Callie has to say about that.
Okay, all right. This is the part where she tries to get the baby to squawk. Dude, I'll tell you what, man. I'm okay with a world in which a bunch of people go around in masks, at least indicating that that enough people care about crime that they're out. And even if they get their asses handed to them.
I'm not comfortable with that.
You don't like vigilantes?
Why?
Because I saw a lot of angry magicians clamoring around. If one of them got to claim to be a vigilante, Brian would be pummeled.
you're saying
you would have to do is
actual
stuff. Wait, hold on. You're saying that the rule of law needs to be respected because magicians might get out of line?
She's seen the mob mentality, and that the rule of law is important for that reason.
Yes, exactly. Just because a bunch of people decide that they hate you doesn't mean that you really deserve to be hated.
Yeah, but I don't know.
You believe the mob's right?
No, I'm not saying
that.
Should I
come over and kick your ass?
No, well, yes, you should, ho. But the, I
try it, ho.
Yeah, I'm the leaf blower. I'm turning on you. Look, man, it's like this is, you're talking about guys who are out on street corners, who are visible, who let people know that it's like there's other people actively watching. And it's like it's a flag he's putting up saying,
you know what?
I'm not going to sit here and watch you rob somebody without doing something about it.
Yeah, well, I guess that kind of takes the role of the little nosy neighbor who always opens her curtain.
Yeah, only she's wearing like a badass black and yellow costume and has an awesome flat top.
So, yeah, I could get behind that. But taking action where they
just flip all around, just flip-flopping all over the place.
Well, no, like if their whole action is to like call the police.
Yeah, but also to punch you in the face if you're trying to steal an old lady's purse.
Well,
I mean, like chase down somebody if you know, they see somebody lurking around cars, casing them, you know, that you can remind them that, hey, don't break into that car because I'm looking at you. You know, it's basically, imagine like a free range security guard, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Like just out for the public interest, who is also, in Phoenix Jones' case, a human killing machine who could actually murder many, many people.
So I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about Google Glass and what it's going to do to like change the way people act when they know everyone's got Google Glass on and it goes active at some time. How long until there's a certain brand of hat that is very characteristic, maybe it's bright green and black stripes or whatever, but everyone who has it knows that it's got always on camera stuff and it's got tagging stuff and takes DNA samples. So like if anyone comes up and if there's an altercation, similar to like, you know, there's stuff where if you steal money, there's something in there that explodes and it tags the money and makes it easier to find. I can imagine bits of clothing that very auspiciously let everyone know that you will be marked if you mess with this person in some way, whether it be, you know, made of a material that's more likely to scrape loose fibers off of you, DNA, or something that, you know, explodes with a gas cloud that tags you, that's trackable or something like, I don't know, maybe it was just an idea that came to me. You look skeptical. You don't think something like that would ever happen?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Like if they recorded them with Google Glass?
No. Google Glass is what got me thinking about it. The fact that, like, behaviors, I bet, will be different in areas where everyone's wearing Google Glass. And it made me think, like, what would a piece of clothing that would take the preventative characteristics of Google Glass times 11, you know, something that would that would, in the case of, you know, a physical altercation, would automatically grab and tag and do, you know, geotag and immediately send out alerts, basically like safety jackets that essentially said,
sure,
if you mess with me, it'll instantly be recorded, uploaded to the police, a piece of your DNA will be recorded, and I'm not worth the trouble, move along. Do you think that would ever happen? Or is that too dorky?
I don't know if it's feasible, if we will ever get to the point where that, because I mean I think that it's beyond the technology, it's the societal element of whether or not it's worth it to kind of have that jacket. I mean, I think like anything else, I mean, I think Google Glass succeeds when Google Glass doesn't look stupid, and like when Google Glass is something that is easy and fashionable to participate in, which is, I mean, I don't think is where it is now, but I think wearable computing in general, it needs to pass that line, that threshold. So I think if there's a really cool looking jacket and it costs reasonably the same as other jackets, and it also has, you know, at that point kind of regular functionality that goes beyond just a piece of clothing, then
so
yeah, sure.
I think
there's any number of things that we could have built into clothing in the next 10 to 15 years that we don't even think about now.
But to you, like an ostentatious look to it would be a negative, something that would keep it from being used. Whereas like I would imagine the opposite, like having it to me would be a flag, a beacon, like that says this piece of clothing records anytime I get messed with. I don't know if that would look like an invitation or what.
Yeah. I mean, it also sounds like, hey, look at me, I'm a fearful type.
Come at me, bro.
Yeah.
is what it says.
I mean, like, how often are you messed with to the point where that's a problem?
Well, we don't ever leave our sealed bubble. We sit inside our little safe zone and never go out.
I mean, the only time you're messed with is when I come visit you.
I know, right? That's what I'm saying. Next time you show up, I'm wearing this like ridiculous green and black jacket.
Don't hit me.
I'm like, what's going on, Justin?
Don't make fun of me.
Just warning you, this jacket's recording everything you do.
Well, I'll tell you what. That sounds like a case for the crime-fighting team of Ho and Blow. Tune in next week, kids, to find out their ever-increasing adventure. All right, let's get into picks. Brian, what you got for me?
I'm just starting, and I need you to explain to me what I should be getting out of it. But Downton Abbey is now on Netflix, so I started watching it last night.
Yes.
And there are parts that are, I think, universally interesting, like the way, you know, the analogs to our current life of getting up and reading, you know, Reddit or whatever versus, you know, but replaced with labor, you know, bells ringing and people running stuff around, ironing the newspaper so the print doesn't get on their hands and all that stuff. That part I get. And I look forward to many other slice of life moments of what it's like for that. But I'm only halfway into the first episode. At what point do you find yourself, if you ever do, really caught up in the rather, if I may put it so bluntly, the extraordinarily British problems these people are having? This show is British as hell.
Oh my God. It's so British. It's ridiculous. Like, it should be fined for how British it is. It should pay us a tariff. Like, we should watch it and it should shell out several pounds because it's so British. I mean, I guess really it's just one of those things where if you are not into the Britishness of it and you know, you don't dig on that super soap opera-y kind of plot structure, or you don't enjoy, you know, like the character of like the Dowager Countess is probably the most memorable character or most well-written character, then it probably isn't for you. But I certainly enjoyed the first season. I watched about half the second season, and I'm sure I'll enjoy the third season when it comes on. But it's certainly one of those things where I enjoy it when I watch it, but it's not something that I'm going to jump up and down and ring bells about how amazing it is.
Well, I'll report in on how it goes. But, I mean, so far, it's funny how much we love
it. Bonnie, are you in on it? Are you watching it with Bonnie?
Well, I watched the first season already. And,
oh, really?
Yeah. And, you know, once it started talking about the war, I was like,
really? That's what I'm waiting for. I'm like, come on, man.
I don't know why.
Let's get a war breaking out.
I don't know why I'm just like, I just had no interest in watching him go through the whole wartime experience thing. But
now, is it World War One or World War Two that there's a
one? Number one.
Number one.
Giant foam finger.
Well, yeah. And I felt like the first, it does take up kind of slow, but you get to know the characters and then bad decisions get made and then it's interesting.
Yeah. All right.
You know,
Well, I'm going to keep diving into it and we'll see what happens. Oh, and if I can give a preemptive pick, freaking Game of Thrones, back with a vengeance. Storm of Swords, season 3, starting up in what, a week, 2 weeks? Any minute now?
Dude, entering in. Beware, ladies and germs. We are entering into an epic television season as concurrently Doctor Who, Mad Men, Game of Thrones airing on back-to-back days, I think, for several weeks in a row. Very, 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 very happy with my life.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
Bon?
Well, I'm looking forward to the new comic series, Blow and Ho. But besides that, you know, I actually have been reading a lot of, like, stupid romance thing.
Oh, I thought you were off the romance books.
You promised me
that you said for Lent I'm giving up fiction.
I was leading up to that. Oh, okay. So anyways, right. I was like desperate, scraping the bottom.
You were drinking on this.
It's very weird to be scraping a bottle. I mean, it's liquid. You should be able to get it out.
The bottom for, because I've read all the good ones and now I'm just like, is there anybody like this?
You're reading the Diamond Club. You're like, it's
basically the, yeah. I mean, I gotta tell you, the Diamond Club is really kind of on par with so much of it. So I decided, I was like, you know, I need to give up. I'm gonna give up nonfiction for Lent.
You mean fiction?
I mean fiction.
Yeah, you're like,
yeah, so I gave up fiction for Lent. And then
yes. I'm giving up nonfiction for Lent. So right. No more Naked Gun movies.
Where I learned about the Pope.
So then I started reading a nonfiction book, and I keep falling asleep during it. So it's like,
what are you reading right now?
I'm reading that the one about the stories, from the top.
Yeah,
leaders.
Lessons from the top about story. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I just keep falling asleep, so I can't even. Because
the guy's British, you got to get somebody.
It's British, and it just is like, you know, he's so very. Terribly British, and
it's very proper.
Yeah,
you want to hear more like punk rock.
So usually I put it on 15 minutes till sleep, and then, but this time I'd start putting on 8, and I'm still falling asleep before. You know, and I do have an infant.
And then
you wake up
in the morning. You're just like, well, let me go back. Like, I don't remember any of this.
I know.
Do you ever do that, Justin? Do you listen to books when you fall asleep?
No, because of that problem, because I want to be, usually also like I tend to prefer television or like things, some video playing while I sleep, because like, that's like kind of my cue that I'm nodding out, like, but so I, yeah. And also, I don't know, very weird thing with me and earbuds. Like, I'm afraid that I'm going to like strangle or break my earbuds.
See,
and,
like, oh my God, so, like, let me tell you, I look over at Brian, and he does the same thing. He listens, and he very nicely puts an earbud so I don't have to listen to his story. But then, meanwhile, it's like 4 in the morning, and he's got them all wrapped around his throat. And I'm just like, really? Oh, my God.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it drives me nuts, because then he falls asleep with the iPhone in the bed, and then it vibrates all night long. And it's like, that's bad etiquette. That is bad etiquette to, like,
right.
Yeah, because you're too popular. Like, if you were me... If you were me, then you wouldn't have a problem. You wouldn't have a vibrating phone all night long. But your phone vibrates all night long.
I have a question for Justin, though. Like, yeah. I cannot, and this is after years of finally just deciding, like, I just can't. I cannot have anything video related on when I'm trying to go to sleep, because my eyes, no matter how tired I am, no matter what's on, like, I'll intentionally, back in the day, I would put it on infomercials, because, like, what would be interesting about that? And they'd be like, watch me blend this eggplant. I'd be like, well, what does it look like? It's like I would look at everything.
I'm the same way, man.
There has to be no video element to it, right. Or I can't fall asleep.
Right. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I've always tended to fall asleep with video. Like, I did it when I was a kid, and now I've continued to do it. So that's where I'll wind up watching the same movies over and over and over again. Like I'll watch Dusk Till Dawn, Jackie Brown, and Pulp Fiction, depending on which ones are on Netflix. I'll watch over and over and over and over and over again just because I know them, I like them, I wind up just watching them as I fall asleep. And I'm not worried about falling asleep at any point during them. Right. You know?
That's awesome. All right, what about you? What are you doing?
Ridiculous fishing, Brian.
What is?
Oh, you know, I saw you tweeting about that.
What are you talking about? Ridiculous fishing?
Is this a new
fishing
game?
Get it in your life. Get it in your life right now.
What is
ridiculous fishing?
I'm going to type in ridiculous.
iOS game.
You didn't provide a link, so I didn't. I was like, I guess this has got to be some kind of, you know, like iPhone game. Is that what it is?
Yes.
It's on your phone.
So, yeah, basically, it's a super simple. It has like an 8-bit kind of look to it. The gameplay is very simple and addicting. But what I love about it is that unlike almost every other popular iOS game, it is not designed to squeeze micropayments out of you. It is not just a slow build, like where it's like, hey, and also you can skip ahead and you know, do this. It's a short track kind of gameplay. Like I almost feel like I am at the end of it even a couple days after playing it, although the last level is kind of infinite, so you can keep going and seeing if you can get, you know, more and more of your high score. But it is so delighted me to the point where if they offered another like Ridiculous Fishing 2 with just 5 more levels, I would buy it immediately. I will wind up spending more money on this game than I did, let's say, a Pocket Planes, which I also loved, but is really like the built-in element of Pocket Planes is, hey, you can also just pay to get the trip from here to here shorter.
Sure.
This is not that. You can, you know, you can have the gameplay be as short as like a maybe minute and a half, 2 minute increments, and then just be done with it. It is awesome and amazing and inventive and hilarious. Ridiculous Fishing.
This is Billy. He fishes like a champ. Tap to cast the line. Tilt to avoid fish. Try to get as many as possible. Wait, why do you want to avoid fish?
So you avoid it going down.
I see.
And then you go down as far as you can. So on the way up, you can catch as many as you possibly can. The fish then are flung out of the boat, and you have to shoot them all.
Oh, of course you do. Why wouldn't you? I love
it. It's ridiculous fishing, Brian. They don't call it really realistic like fishing. They call it ridiculous fishing.
Now grab your gun and shoot the gills off
them.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, that's beautiful. All right. I'm so down for this.
And now the podcast is over. He's playing it. You know, you were talking about that, you know, paying for each little increment of the game. And
yeah,
Penny had discovered this thing called Pocket Frogs. And then Josie figured out that you can get like a mama frog and a daddy frog, and you can make baby frogs. And it's not graphic at all, but
yeah,
it's frog graphic.
But all, you know, being a little kid, all she wants is the baby frogs.
She gets mad when they hatch and become frogs.
Yeah, so we had this whole, and like, she was just like, I want the baby frogs. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she's like a little terrorist, like making
that's
what demands.
That's all the terrorists wanted.
I'm gonna throw a tantrum.
Now,
in this
was this something
so
where they wound up spending money on it?
Right, like you can buy the eggs and like be all like, oh, here you go, child, for $5, I got you as many baby frogs as you want. Or you can be like, oh, you can earn.
That's
the
a problem,
coins.
Man.
Yeah, and then but it was so funny because I didn't understand what was going on, and then John had to explain it. He was like, oh, well, that's you can cheat. Yeah. You know,
you can buy. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like he had to kind of like, you know, but you can buy your way to the top, Josie. I think that's what he said. You can buy your way to the top, Josie, but you know.
I just bought a cap, the finest in redneck headwear.
All right. Well, as Brian descends into ridiculous fishing, let's take this time to wrap everything up. Thank you to our sponsor, Area 1851. Go ahead on over there and get his Kickstarter a rolling. Brian, what would you like to plug?
Nothing. Just that I love you guys very, very much, and I'm excited to be here. And I want to thank Bonnie for joining us with her wizard staff of Microphone Power 7 and my baby, who's clearly talking into the mic right now.
At Invisible Wife, Bonnie Brushwood, is there anything else you'd like to let everybody know about?
Hey, it's good to be back in the game.
Sure.
Now, I know that this is Girl Scout cookie season. Is there another online Girl Scout situation?
She was sold out in 3 days. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, we've got it down. And then I made Penny scale back a little bit. We found out that our first foray where we had Chelt Realm buy some cookies was a big deal.
Then they outlawed it because you threw off the curve.
No, well, it might have been like, I don't know. I didn't hear any of that the first year, but apparently like you are not to go on the internet and like try to socially sell in any way. Because
it's way less creepy to have your children go door to door knocking on the houses of strangers.
Yeah, but you have to do that in pairs, and there always has to be a parent. I mean, Girl Scout has like a ton of rules. So apparently we broke a lot of them the first year. But
by safely unloading a metric ton of cookies.
Yeah, and we made a lot of people happy.
Without endangering the children at all.
Yeah, and we made a lot of people happy because we had a lot of people say, I can't find these. We don't have any Girl Scouts around here. But the past couple of years, we've been able to do booths, and Penny's hilarious in a booth. Like she makes up jingles and she engages, and she doesn't understand why the biker with no teeth doesn't want to buy you know, some Thin Mints. These are really good, you know. And I'm like, I don't think he's gonna buy any.
That's yeah. good. She's not intimidated. She's like, all I care is, does he have money?
Oh no, got money.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think everybody should follow at Invisible Wife because she is literally the best thing ever to happen to planet Earth.
Aww,
thank you very much for joining us once again, Bon.
Well, thanks. It's been great.
All right. Well, that about wraps it up for this edition of yet another Weird Things podcast. Andrew will hopefully be back next week, but until then, good friends, as Brian is distracted by ridiculous fishing,
I just got a 100.
It's been weird.
I got a 100 meter line. Hold on.
You want to sponsor the podcast? Do you have $30? If so, go to weirdthings.com/sponsor and you can have Justin say whatever you want. He's a trained ape.